Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. Today's episode is kind of a conclusion or a final part of a series that I've done over the last year on this show about navigating different trimesters of pregnancy while in private practice. If you've been a listener of this show throughout the last year, you may remember episode 15, where I explored the challenges of navigating private practice in the first trimester. Episode 28 looked at private practice in the second trimester. And episode 38, I looked at how to get prepared for maternity leave and what private practice was like for me in the third trimester. In each episode, I explored universal things for each of us to consider while also getting personal about what I was going through at the time in each of those different stages of pregnancy. And so in this episode, I want to talk about what it's been like for me here in the fourth trimester and early postpartum and the transition that I have had back to work in my private practice. I think this is an important topic for us to explore because I don't think the fourth trimester gets talked about enough for women in general. And then definitely there's not enough support around for those of us in the mental health field, you know, those that are helping individuals with their own mental health, you know, for us to be able to know how to take care of ourselves or ask for help or things to take into consideration for ourselves as providers. So today's episode feels really important, feels like one that I really wish that I had before I had my first baby. Now, you may be saying, Ashley, what the hell is the fourth trimester? I've never heard of this before. You are most likely familiar with the first and the second and the third trimesters, but perhaps this is the first time you've heard something called the fourth trimester. The fourth trimester is actually the period immediately following childbirth, characterized by physical, emotional, and psychological changes that happen for both parents and for the baby, for the newborn. And this doesn't have to be that you have been the birthing parent, that this can happen for parents who became parents through surrogacy, through adoption, the non-birthing parent. This can happen for anybody. And again, it is typically characterized by those first 12 weeks after having a baby. So the first 3 months of the baby's life, there are so many changes that if you are the birthing parent, that changes that you have gone through and changes that the baby has gone through. So some of the physical challenges of the fourth trimester are things like sleep deprivation. There's so many hormonal fluctuations, lactation and breastfeeding struggles, pelvic floor recovery or recovery from surgery if you had a C-section, and then all of that on the top of the demands of caring for a newborn. And so during this fourth trimester is oftentimes when we may begin to see perinatal mood and anxiety disorders start to show up, though it can be anytime, you know, within that first year of having a baby, you may start to experience anxiety or depression during this time. And so while all of these changes are going on with the mother and the baby, You also have the added stress of changed relationships with other children you may have, changed relationships with your partner or your spouse, a loss of identity or a loss of a sense of routine or normalcy, a exorbitant amount of overwhelm. So the fourth trimester can be a really challenging time for many women, regardless of this is your first baby or your 10th. It is a challenging time. For me, I anticipated this go around after having this baby that the fourth trimester would be challenging for me because it was really hard after my second baby in a way that it hadn't been after my first. I struggled with postpartum anxiety pretty bad after my second son, and I had a lot of challenges with breastfeeding both of my boys before. So I anticipated the first several months after having my daughter would be really hard for me mentally, physically, and emotionally. And I was right. While my delivery was very positive, it was a really great experience. I experienced several challenges with breastfeeding with this baby that were really additional stressors that I've had to navigate in addition to just all the other things that come with postpartum. Those breastfeeding challenges have required me to give so much of myself physically and mentally and have just added to the stress. So in addition to the stress of adjusting to a new baby, during this fourth trimester, we've had several family emergencies and illnesses in this time. We had a stomach virus that raged through our house in mid-December and hit myself and baby. That was very quickly followed by an allergic anaphylactic reaction in my oldest that landed him in the pediatric ICU overnight. My husband broke his ankle 5 days before Christmas. So needless to say, our household ended 2023 a complete mess. And the circumstances of life in that fourth trimester were anything but calm or normal for me. And so the physical exhaustion from a baby that wasn't sleeping, two other children with their own individual high needs, family crises and emergencies, and really just the overwhelm of all of it compounded together really made my anxiety spike as my bandwidth was completely tapped out. It wasn't necessarily that I was feeling more anxious per se just in general, but it was the situations that our family were in created so much additional stress for me. When I went out on maternity leave from my private practice in October, I anticipated returning the end of February. I had planned to begin seeing clients at that point and had communicated with clients before I went out on leave that I would probably begin reaching out to them about a month prior to my anticipated return so that they could, you know, expect to hear from me sometime by mid to end of January. So as I was going through all of this hard stuff that was happening in my life with my family, with myself and postpartum, I had my eye always kind of towards February, knowing that financially I was going to need to go back to work at that time. I knew that in order to be able to do the work that is required of me as a therapist, that I really needed to try and get myself as whole as possible before being able to go back into that space. I knew realistically, though, that it wasn't going to be that when I returned in February that I was going to be able to be completely free of overwhelm and exhaustion. But I knew that I needed to be in a better headspace than I was several months before. There was no way that I was going to be able to hold space for others when I was barely able to keep myself and my family together. So in order to slowly get myself back to a place where I felt comfortable to be able to start seeing clients again, I worked closely with my lactation consultant who specialized in working with moms of babies who have struggles with breastfeeding around certain types of foods, so potential food allergies or sensitivities. She really helped me to identify triggers that were causing my baby to have lots of gut problems and to help eliminate those things out of my diet to help get her to feel better and allow all of us to get some sleep. My husband and I looked at where he could adjust his plans and take a longer paternity leave than he originally anticipated, which would allow him to be more available to help with the household responsibilities and wouldn't put it all on me because he had gone back to work. During this time, I tried to begin moving my body again through short exercises as a way to help cope with my stress. I didn't push myself hard, but I did just enough to help get some endorphins going, just to help kind of give a little bit of that flow in my body to not feel like I was just sitting all the time. And I started working with a pelvic floor therapist to help me recover the best that I can after having 3 pregnancies and 3 C-sections. And I'm still ongoing in that process. But working with her has really helped me to begin to reconnect with my body again and to understand what I'm feeling and what is going on. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. I was really realistic with myself as I thought about returning and work. I really was realistic about what my capacity was going to be when I made that return. When I went out on leave before my maternity leave, I was seeing on average about 18 clients a week. I was seeing clients 3 days a week from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with 1 1-hour lunch break. I would usually see clients 3 to 4 of them straight, have 1 hour break, and then see the remaining 2 or 3 clients. As I was preparing to head into my leave, I knew that when I returned in February that there was no way I was going to be able to maintain that same schedule due to the demands that our family currently has ongoing. My oldest son has on average 1 to 3 appointments a week for either behavioral therapy, feeding therapy, or some kind of allergy appointment for and treatments. And I knew that adding another child that would be high need simply because she's an infant was going to require more of me to be able to take kids to appointments and simply be available to help get the household in order in the evening times. It was already a struggle before we added a third child. And so knowing that I was going to have to cut back on my schedule was an absolute necessity once she arrived. So at the beginning of January, I mapped out what I felt could be a realistic schedule for me to begin seeing clients. This would allow me to communicate with clients my plans to return, what was available, and also then to help me to figure out what my childcare needs were. My husband and I had talked about the need for me to be done work, done seeing clients no later than 4 p.m. so that there could be more hands on deck earlier in the evening for the family, just to help make evening times, that witching hour, that stressful after school, dinner time, bath time, less stressful. I also knew that I was going to have to be the one doing morning drop-off for the oldest two at school and daycare, and that I would typically be home by around 8:20. I wanted to have enough time to transition from the chaos of drop-off to getting the baby ready for the babysitter that would come to the house, and then get myself ready and calm and in a good headspace before going into sessions with clients. So I decided to start my first session at 9:30 in the morning. And my sessions, I schedule for 60 minutes. We usually wrap up at about 53 minutes, but I knew that I was going to have to pump or feed the baby throughout the day. And that was something that was going to have to be added into the schedule. And I didn't have to figure this out with my other two. With my first baby, I didn't go back to work till he was about 14, 15 months old, and we were done breastfeeding at that point. With my second, I had stopped breastfeeding and pumping by the time I did go back to work with him at about 4 months old. So I knew I needed to build that into my schedule, and I knew I wanted to be able to see 5 clients a day and was only going to be able to really see clients 2 days a week at this point. So I divided my schedule up as the following. I see my first client from 9:30 to 10:30, and then I give myself a 30-minute break to either nurse the baby or pump. I see my next client at 11, and then at 12 o'clock, I have a 30-minute lunch break. At 12:30, I see one more client. And then at 1:30, I have another 30-minute break to feed or pump the baby. And then I go into 2 back-to-back clients, wrapping my schedule up at 4 o'clock. And so far, this schedule has worked for me. It's given me a nice little break to be able to see my baby in between sessions. And it's actually made me more efficient to try and get my notes done while I'm pumping. So how did I go about communicating with clients my plans about what they could anticipate with my return? I sent out an email to all clients about the end of January detailing my plans to come back to work the end of February. I informed them that my schedule was going to be more limited due to my family's needs, and I reminded them that there was no obligation to return to therapy with me, and that if they wanted to continue to work with the therapist that they had seen while I was out, they could absolutely do so. I shared with them what my new schedule was going to be, and I told them that it would really be kind of a first come, first serve for slots in my schedule. So if they wanted to return to therapy, they would have to let me know as soon as possible what their preferred days and times would be. I do kind of standing appointment times, so being able to secure a specific spot for many of my clients is really important, especially given that they're trying to fit things in around their own schedules. And I asked clients to let me know that even if they weren't interested in returning, to let me know just so that way I could go ahead and completely discharge them. And I had about 2/3 say that they wanted to return, and the other 1/3 either wanted to discharge from therapy or just continue working with the therapist that they had seen while I was on leave. And honestly, this was a real blessing because it didn't put me in a bind to have to turn people away. Some people wanted a biweekly session, so I was able to schedule them kind of alternating with each other. In the past, when I've returned from maternity leave, I've had almost every single person return. And I knew, given the limited availability I was going to have, that that just simply was not going to be possible. So it really worked itself out to have clients kind of make that determination for themselves. And they were able to recognize either, hey, I think I'm in an okay spot, or I'm going to just move in a different direction. And that's been really a blessing that I didn't have to, again, just turn people away. And so I've been seeing clients now again for about 2 months. And honestly, the schedule has just felt really good. It has felt really balanced and really feels like it's working for me where I'm at right now and for my family. You know, one of the things that I was really clear for myself and then communicate with my clients prior to my leave was what my boundaries would be in regards to communication with clients while I was on maternity leave. I really did not want to have to be engaging with situations outside of my family. And I made it clear to clients that there were resources and other therapists available to them if they needed support while I was on leave. We discussed this at length before I went on leave, and I provided all of that information, resources to them before I went out. And I don't know if I just have really great clients, but I didn't have any that pushed or broke those boundaries. They all were extremely respectful of that. And when I did reach out to them in January, they were really glad to hear from me. They had been kind of anticipating that they would hear around that time, and since that was, you know, what I had communicated with them. So they were really grateful that I did reach out at that time when they were kind of looking for that email in their inbox. Now, one of the big questions I see many of us asking in regards to maternity leave is, when should I plan to return to work? And of course, the reality is there is no one size fits all. There's no right or wrong answer to this question. But I think we have to be really realistic with ourselves about what is our capacity to hold space for clients. If you've had a quote unquote easy fourth trimester in the past, and I'm putting this in quotes because no fourth trimester, no postpartum period is easy. But if it felt easier than maybe what you've heard others have experienced, or than what you've experienced with a previous child, That doesn't necessarily mean that if you have another baby, it's going to be exactly the same. Each baby, each pregnancy is so different. So that's why it's important to be flexible and consider giving yourself as much time as possible to not have to worry about returning to work. If you have an anticipated return time, say mid-May, maybe that's when you're anticipating returning to see clients. As it approaches, you may want to begin reaching out a few weeks before to clients to kind of anticipate what is the potential returning caseload. But if you're finding that you don't feel ready to return as that kind of anticipated time frame approaches, if you're not ready, whether it's due to your own mental health struggles, just the overwhelm of life, or you have a baby with high needs, it is okay to communicate with clients that either your return time has changed to a new anticipated window or time, or that even your return is not known yet, but that you'll reach out when you do know. It is okay to prioritize yours and your family's needs above clients' needs, especially during this time. Postpartum can be so challenging mentally, physically, and emotionally, and working in a field where we are caring for others who are having their own struggles in those areas can be really taxing. So be honest with yourself. Talk with your friends, your family, colleagues throughout this time to assess how you're feeling. And it is okay to admit that you're not okay and that you're not ready to return yet to work. Just because someone else has returned to seeing clients at a certain time period doesn't mean that you have to do that. Trust yourself and your gut in what your family needs, and don't be afraid to lean into that need to prioritize you and your baby and your family. In next week's episode, I'm going to be talking with my guest, Janelle Crummy, about the challenges of breastfeeding and being a working parent. We're going to be looking at systems that make this hard and the impact that this can have on our own mental and emotional well-being. It's a perfect episode that piggybacks off of this one. So if you are pregnant or in postpartum, you are anticipating having a baby in the future, or you just support birthing parents, I highly recommend that you check this episode out next week. It's a really great conversation. And I want to thank you again for being here today with me, and I hope you will join me here again next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.